Listen up! You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones!
Tell me, what is it all about?
What is it all about?
What is it all about? Welcome to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush right here on X-Ray FM. What up, though?
Good morning.
It's Thursday morning.
It's Thursday. I could feel better.
Same. My morning started at 3:45, and that was not my choice.
That sounds gross.
I don't know.
I'm be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't know what my recovery is going to look like. It's going to have to be a nap somewhere in the afternoon. But then once you get to a certain part of the afternoon, it's early evening. And then what do you
And you can't take a nap. Well, I mean, you could. It may ruin your evening.
Right.
And then you're tomorrow.
Boom. I don't like it.
So, unsure. Yeah. Anybody have recommendations for Ambush? Good morning, AJ. We've made it to another fine Thursday.
We have
another week of Portland losing its mind over and over in different ways, and now we're here.
Yeah. I was going back and forth with someone. So someone posted how happy they were to be here in Portland. It's like, oh my gosh, Portland, it's so quiet here. I love it.
So and quiet.
And the majority of the people were like, yeah, it's great. And of course, you know, you got a couple. Well, I had to move out of there because blah, 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 blah. Crime. Homeless. Encampments. Crime.
I wonder if they ever even lived here.
Well, they were like, I moved out of here like 2 years ago. And I was like, hey, glad you left. Within that 2 year span, things got better. So, you know, kudos to you leaving and improving.
I see.
Our community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, I say, I wonder if they ever even lived here. Right. You know, because consistently, people having all the smoke, all the things to say, and then you live a place that has a whole different city council, you know, right, which means you don't live here.
Right.
They had that NIMBY rally. The don't take our police money to make sure the parks are okay.
Rally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And shout out to Full Rev Media for being everywhere. I don't know how you're everywhere, but you're everywhere in the city. Like, I don't even really, where do you even start with how ridiculous it is that people show up. This was like a group of pro cop, not in my backyard.
Right.
Held a press conference outside a Safe Rest Village calling for more police funding. But most of what they said was just straight up misinformation. And Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
He wasn't there though, to my knowledge. Cool. He was just, you know, sitting on the dais saying the same stuff. There were people that showed up, you know, to counter, and the speakers though for the pro police, like, we got to make sure that the Antifa doesn't take over, were Gresham residents and a bunch of cops and a couple of political candidates that are backed by the police union. The city council president of Gresham was here to say, you know, guys,
you better get it together.
Let me tell you this about that. You can't be taking $1.9 million from the police. They don't have enough money as is.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Good thing we didn't take it. Matt said, already dropped someone at the airport. Good morning.
Matt! Good morning, Matt.
Right at it.
Also, what are you doing? Why'd you say yes to the early morning drop-off? Just kidding. I always say yes if someone asks me.
Oh, man. Yeah. I responded to that person and someone else responded to me. I don't know why you have to say, you know, happy you're gone, especially when they're speaking full facts. And I'm like, someone's perspective is not full facts.
Hello.
It just isn't, you know. Also, the issues that we're talking about are nationwide issues, and crime has actually been going down nationwide. So, you know?
Well, not in my head. So, well, tell me more.
To your point, this person responded was like, well, I work in the emergency room, the triage. I think it's the emergency.
Oh, great. This is going to be wonderful. Department. I'm so happy. I can't wait to hear how a person who works emergency services is annoyed and by the pores.
And they said, we see all of it. And I wanted to respond because then this person responded like two or three times with stats and da da da. I'm like, you're actually proving my point. I work in the emergency room and we see all of it.
Yeah, that's what the emergency room sees.
Right. You literally see what's in the emergency room and that's it.
Yeah.
So, how is it that you live in the same city that I live in and I'm having a grand old time? Well, it could be because it isn't the hellscape that Donald Trump has been telling you people it's been for God knows how long.
Right.
And if you guys, like, for those that actually fell for it and they're still pushing it, if your president was so very concerned about what's happening with Portland, and it's still on fire, and it's just rampant Gotham City, as he described it, was such a huge talking point. Why hasn't he done anything?
Well, the Antifas took over. It's a lost cause.
Oh.
You know? And that seems to track with a person who would certainly let go of a state that is a part of the United States.
Yeah.
Matt, good man. It was his lady. That's fair. Ambush is always going to have to drop me off at the airport early morning. I feel you on that. Rough stuff. Are you going to get a nap, though? That's the real question.
That's a good question.
This is a good question. Do men go through hormonal changes that wake them up at weird times? Because 3 a.m. wake up sounds like perimenopause.
Who said that?
AJ.
I don't know, AJ.
And I think this is a fantastic question. Anybody out there able to help us with that?
That's a good question, man.
Expect there to be a bunch of information about this because hormones are to girls.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much time we've spent.
You mean girlmones?
Thank you. I mean,
you know why they call it
never hormones, mind. I was literally about to make the joke that we just said the same thing, but like that's it. Anywho, you know, we don't spend a whole lot of time looking into hormones because that's for you know, ladies or something. Yeah. And unless we're talking testosterone and then we know all about that.
Yeah.
Except nothing, you know, some and none and a little bit somewhere in between. So, you know, if men are going through hormonal changes, one, you're going to know just as much as we do, I guess. But I think you're also taught to just be like, that must be a cold. Walk it off. Like,
I can vouch for that.
So,
most certainly.
Not great. It's true. Portland is still on fire. This nail be getting burnt.
thanks for reporting from the streets there, Matt. I just don't understand wanting to denigrate a place where you live. And I do understand, like, if that is the truth, you know what I'm saying? Like, I live in this place, I feel trapped. financially, if I wish I could move and I can't, and these are all the issues I'm dealing with, I get that. I get that. Like, that is a lot of people's reality. And for some people, based on where they are on a socioeconomic level, that could definitely be what they're experiencing here. But for a lot of those people that we had that are experiencing that we have, you know, that we have in plain view, it's not really viewed like they are victims of society. It's viewed as though they're failures. So it's like, here we are with our jobs and our cars and,
right,
you know, everything else that we have. We get to wait in line at Dutch Bros, and we're complaining about the people that have far less than us.
Right.
Getting shoveled around the city, having their belongings taken from them, having zero resources or limited resources available to them. And our complaint is about what they're doing to our lives in our city.
Yeah.
Like,
capitalism is a cold piece, man. Capitalism is a cold piece. I mean, and you can't remove it. It can be removed as a structure, but I mean, like, you can't. You have to understand that they are connected, that the reason there are homeless people is because of capitalism, not because they don't know how to play the game of capitalism. Like,
right.
You cannot have this kind of economic system without people that are destitute, without different tiers and classes of people in order to keep those people destitute and the other people with getting all the resources. I mean, it's written in. you can't separate.
No.
It is wild to me that it's, you know, 2025 and there are still so many people, and very specifically, I mean, at big ages, that are like, capitalism, schmapitalism. Like,
what are you even talking about?
What could you be so upset about? You just need to get an LLC. This text says, what's your thoughts on the PPB Central Bike Squad? The police ride around on bikes and stop and frisk on bikes. What?
They better not be out here stopping and frisking. Right, cut that out. They'll do whatever they want. My view and opinion on police on bikes is pretty much the same view and opinion I have of police on cars.
On not bikes, and on horses,
on foot.
On feet.
On feet. And police on a ham. Police with eggs, and police in beds.
Oh, I don't know why that every Madonna we use.
Police in a boat. Police on a float.
They do be on floats, though, and that's weird.
Yeah, I wish I remembered more of those lines sequentially. I would like to be able to nail that. But they don't prevent crime. They actually escalate situations time and time again. We've seen that. I'm curious, is there something specific that you've seen outside of the stopping and frisking, which should not just be happening? Like, where are we, New York?
Well, I'm on their Instagram page. Official account for Portland Police Central Precinct Neighborhood Response Team, NRT, Bike Squad. And there's a bee on a bike.
A bee, like a bumblebee?
Like a bumblebee is on a bike.
Yeah, that's how they see themselves.
Are they just bee words?
That's their logo?
Yeah. Mm. All right. Yeah, I mean, I think not great. Okay, we're going to go back to that little NIMBY moment, because there was somebody being interviewed by local news. And this particular person was like, you know, it doesn't really matter if you do or you don't like the police. They're the answer.
Wait, say again?
It doesn't really matter if you do or don't like the police. They are the answer.
Oh, yes.
That's cool. It was a wild statement to see, because this person definitely will easily be killed by the police quick.
Oh, yeah.
Just quick, fast. It doesn't really matter
all right, how much the African-American gentleman.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how much you glad hand. It doesn't matter if they know your name, but
not enough of them.
Not enough of them do. And like, and if we're still in that place of, but if they know me, then I'll be good. If we're still there, right, you are not worth bringing along. And I want to practice calling people in. And I want to make sure that we can do this together. None of us are free until we're all free. And still, Harriet would have shot you, and Morgan might have too. Like,
you said it right there in their explanation of, if they know my name, at least I'll be good.
It is the most selfish, most ridiculous thinking. Any person who is the, in fact, aim of white supremacy to have that feeling. The idea that you can bootstrap, you can individually get yourself out of systemic oppression. I absolutely understand not wanting to participate in the system. And guess what? It's there. You're going to have to. You absolutely have to.
Yeah.
So deciding to lay down and get your belly rubbed by the person who's going to then stop your heart or punch a hole through your stomach, or, you know what I mean? Like,
you went straight to a movie scene from here, like, yeah. Often you see that.
I mean, you know, but
yeah.
it's beyond me.
Yeah.
It's honestly beyond me. And go ahead.
I'm gonna say I transformed a little bit there.
Yeah. Glitch.
If I were law enforcement, I would say pipe down, guys. You guys are creating some very unrealistic expectations, and you're putting all types of requirements on my job here. Okay. All these, we're not, what you showed me this morning, anomaly. We're not jumping into places and saving the day.
Bro, I don't even know where that was. I don't know. And I don't want to share it because a car runs over.
Yeah, yeah.
At least two people. But this was clearly a police chase was ensuing. Car comes around the corner, there's a event of some sort in the street, because there's lots of people in the street. Big truck hits actual humans, and the police dude maneuvers around that and runs directly into this, just keeps ramming the truck until it stops.
Hits him with a PIT.
Jumps out, hops on his own hood, pulls the person out of the truck onto the hood that he's standing on. Like a rag doll a bit.
Gets him right up out of there.
And cuffs him and detains him. And he's still, you know, looking behind him for backup. Like, where are the rest of y'all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a movie maneuver.
That's a movie maneuver. That is not life.
That's not North Precinct.
No.
Downtown Precinct.
Not at all.
Behavior.
Not at
all. Certainly not bike squad material.
No. Blobfish said, police on the float. Now I'm visioning a cop on a floaty on the river. And that's where they want to be, guys. At the end of the day.
You know what? That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I want to be floating the river right now. But I certainly don't want to be floating the river with off-duty cops. I'll tell you this about that. Or on-duty cops.
All right.
None of them. Specific. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that the inner tube near me is like Officer Stevens or something. No, thank you. I want no part. Oh, this says, it's a glorified version of cops on IG. I feel like they can roll up on anyone on bikes without probable cause and antagonize the homeless. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might actually be their job description, not, you know, on paper, but who gives the orders when they go in every day? Is that the lieutenant?
I think so.
You'd think I'd know this. I've watched many a propaganda show in my day.
I don't know.
I still don't understand the ranks. I'm like,
it's like a shift sergeant or something.
Who's the one calling all the shots? Oh, you all wear white shirts. I have no idea. You know, like, I don't know the difference between the deputy and the so-and-so. But somebody's telling those people before they go out on the town. Yeah, make sure you harass the homeless.
I think
today.
It's a sarge. And I'm much like you, referring to my Hollywood education.
Yeah.
One movie called Who's the Man? Featuring Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
Get me out of here.
And Dennis Leary was their sarge.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they undercover? What was that? I don't remember.
No, were they just police? Yeah, they were like, we're going to stop working at the barbershop.
Yeah, because I don't make enough money here. I need benefits.
I think it was like, I don't know if the recruiter came in or something, but there was some benefit like, yo.
We're going to be the man.
We're the man now. You know? We're going to change things around here.
Ooh,
1993. That's when
it came out. What a time to be alive.
Movie and soundtrack. Fabulous. Fabulous. Oh, man. It was an MTV film. Like, so many of their VJs were in it.
Ed Lover and Dr. Dre are hapless New York City barbers who test the patience of their boss, Nick Crawford, one too many times and end up at a police academy to try out careers in law enforcement. That definitely makes sense.
the barbershop to cop pipeline?
I've had it. You two are terrible barbers. You know what you should try to do? Be the police. And you know the reason why this makes sense is you have to do more training to become a hairstylist or barber than you do to be the police.
True.
So they were skilled down, is what this movie told us in 1993.
Overqualified. Yeah, they were terrible barbers too.
Well, for their first major assignment, they attempt to thwart a corrupt businessman at odds with their boss. Wait, what? Hold.
I think it might have been.
Over property development.
Yeah, gentrification. 1993.
Wow, you remember a lot of this movie.
I love it.
I remember it existed. I've seen it.
Yeah, I have it on VHS. I love
that
probably
movie. In 1993.
I still play songs from that soundtrack. I'm sorry. It's just,
I'm not mad about this. I'm
so good.
I'm happy for you. Anywho, what are we talking about today? We're talking about maybe, who knows? I went to town. With
listen, Morgan went to town, picked up other towns, and on the way back, returning to our town, made another stop and was like, you know, this is the type of thing I like to garnish a town with. Put that in. She got decorations for those towns. Our news doc is dense. It is exciting because I want to talk about all of this stuff. But our show is only an hour and a half.
Yeah, this was bad. You know what happens? Sometimes you get locked in, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, also this story. Oh, my God. Also this story. Oh, look at these good things also happening in Portland. Like, let's definitely mention that.
Right.
Also this story. Also this. So, like, apologies. Probably the entire show doc will be on Monday. I don't know. Like, what we plan to talk about. I'll tell you what we plan to talk about.
All right.
Pat President, the Portland Teachers Association President, enters the city council chat. And, you know, I love me some good... How do we say it? I love a good checking.
Okay.
When somebody does something egregious, I think it is incumbent on us as community members, citizens of this place, to check the people in power. I think that is important.
Yeah.
And she keeps showing up to do certain checkings, and I appreciate
for it.
The City Council emergency budget meeting it continues to display what could be considered bold ideas and those who hate them. So, and in national news, Final Form misogynists, the brothers Tate, are facing 21 new charges in the UK.
God save the Queen.
You know, I love some patriotism for other countries, you know?
Oh, man.
Why don't? Man. Yeah, more monarchy talk.
Yeah. If this is what I'm going to get.
God save the Queen. I am weak. And man. Then this is my favorite story of the week. And so we are absolutely getting to this.
Oh, my God.
If we get to nothing else.
Woo.
Deputy mayor of public safety in Los Angeles, for Los Angeles, takes a plea after doing a fake bomb threat on Zoom, because that's...
Y'all, cannot wait to discuss this story with y'all. It's just amazing. It's full of twists, turns,
But before we do anything else, I just want to laugh at Trump for a second.
Okay. Oh. Going to mention, we also have an excerpt from the conversation, the interview I had with Donovan Scribes.
Yes!
About Blackout, the magazine commemorating the 5 years.
Shout out to Donovan.
Yes, shout out to Donovan and everyone involved in that. The 5 years since the George Floyd protests in Willamette Week. It's Willamette Week, so of course the issues come out weekly. I'm not sure if it's still, if you can find copies anywhere. I had to do some traveling. I had to do some hunting to find it. And then one of my old haunts, I was like, why did I just hit New Seasons? Yeah. And then even in there, it's moved around.
That's one of your old haunts?
For stuff like that, yeah.
Oh,
they used to have a section right by the other door where all the papers were, all the community flyers, stuff. They move that around, and I get there, and I'm like, So they move the Willamette to the front, and bam. But had a really good conversation with Donovan. We're going to play some of that here, and then we'll have the full version up later on this week on our YouTube. But if you're on Patreon, you'd probably be tuning into that a little bit later today.
Ooh. You
know, got to bless the fam.
You know?
Got to bless the finances. But what's this Trump thing you chat about?
Well, I'm just like, imagine being roasted by Wall Street.
Yes.
Like some of the most dastardly people get to roast you. Imagine. They out here.
The people you love the most.
I mean, I guess they're not calling him Taco, but.
I don't know.
Trump always chickens out is the acronym there. And y'all know the game. Trump makes these big, scary tariff threats. The market panics. Investors snatch up stocks on the low. And then Trump is like, just kidding. Actually, I don't have to do that tariff because I'm strong.
Right.
And then, that's rude, Ambush.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to explain it to people who may have no idea what's going on here, and you're going to show me a picture of Trump's face on the inside of a hard shell taco?
You know who you should thank for that? East Coast C's, because he's the one that put it up, right?
C's!
He posted it to one of our text messages yesterday. Yeah. Trump always chickens out.
Yeah, it's clockwork at this point. We're doing all this tough tariff talk, and you know, I'm out here, I'm a tyrant. I do what I want, and China's going to pay me 300% tariffs because that's in fact how they work.
Right.
And then he doesn't do it because that's not how tariffs work.
Right.
They're just folks are investing on the assumption that he'll bluff and backpedal like he does. And when asked about the nickname at a press conference, Trump said, nasty question.
Very nasty question. You shouldn't ask that. Never ask that again. It's a very nasty question.
It's so nasty. Have you ever heard of the word negotiation? Because that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm negotiating. I don't backtrack.
How about you're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland, 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in the Halem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. You would think that a nickname for his negotiation style that is associated with the food would please him.
But yeah. No. It also isn't bankrupt, which it should be. You know? Like, the only word associated with his negotiation style should be bankrupt.
Oh my gosh.
Loser. You know, something like that. It should certainly... But this is the economy under late stage capitalism, you know, where the chaos is even predictable. It's just, you know, it's going to go bad. You know, the big dummy is going to do the big dumb things. The big dummy. The big dummy. Yeah, I just really can't also get over those people being like at the Blue Budgets Matter rally. I just really can't get over it. I can't believe y'all are out here and city council members are out here really doing the fool. And I say that because it's almost as if we don't understand how money works. And by that I mean you have one budget that has too much money. Mm-hmm. Admittedly so. Mm-hmm. Too much money. And you're like, they need more money because there's reasons. And so they need more money. These other programs and services don't have enough money. But this one, who has more than it should, still might need more money.
Right.
So you can't have it. This idea that you don't know how to move and strategize and like you ain't never had to move money in between some of your own accounts before, you know, like you cannot pay the parks employees on promises of maybe the police don't need that money anymore. Like you, what are we doing?
It's $2 million. It's $2
million. 1.9.
Yeah. So... I do want to hop back in the taco thing, but I'm gonna come back to that.
Handle the scandal.
Do you need to move forward? Do you feel as though, and I'm sure this isn't a new idea, and I'm sure someone has probably, you know, voiced opposition to it that I would be like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. But do you think there should be an aptitude test for a public office? Because here's the thing: for you don't want to give money. Additional money to the police who already have more money than they ever had and who currently have 91 vacancies. And in order to give them the extra money, we're taking away money from Parks and Rec, which are part of public services and the resource that would help decrease crime.
But hello.
If you cannot understand, because they're making it like, oh, what if you just had different opinions? No. There's social science here that you're actually
ignoring
or can't comprehend, which goes back to my original question.
Okay, aptitude test. I'm back on board.
We don't get a Marjorie Taylor Greene. We don't get a Lauren Boebert. We don't get so many different people that are just, I can't remember the old dude's name, who says the most ridiculous things.
That could be any of them on the hill. Yeah.
But we don't get so many of these issues when the qualifications are a little bit more higher. I'm not saying you need to go to college, but some of this is just like, do you indeed understand 1 + 1 = 2?
Yeah. Well, Ambush, what you're talking about isn't democratic. Okay.
Oh,
we get to vote for shoes if we want, you know, and that's the beauty of America.
Ah.
And we did vote for shoes.
Vote for shoes.
You know, there's a lot of shoes that have jobs right now.
Oh.
You named a couple. You know what I mean? Like, they're not...
Clown shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I would love it. I would love if there were, you know, actual... Not... not like show me the Ivy League that you went to, but show me, like you said, that you know 1 + 1 is 2.
Yeah, you can understand cause and effect. There's a level of critical thinking. You can do these word problems. Like, we just need to know that the person that we're talking to at least understands the concepts that we're trying to introduce, especially when we're talking about changing the way things have been for so long.
Right.
It requires imagination. It requires processing new ideas and new ways of thinking. And
thinking
things
out
are,
of the box.
Yeah. It yeah. requires all of that. And if you don't have the capacity for it, you should not be in leadership.
1,000%. But I think that the what ends up happening is any sort of, we're going to put these kind of tests in place for powerful positions yeah. become just tools of
supremacy.
What, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. Sticky wicket.
Yeah.
Right?
I would like to make sure that the people or persons involved with those tests are women first. women of color leading that. Let's do everything we can to make sure this is a rigorous process and we've tested the tests over right. and over again and you know, done all the actual science in creating a test. And
yeah.
Like I would just love that. I would love to have people that are running volunteer. You know, I'll take the test. Let's see where I score on that. I would love to see that become a thing.
Yeah.
Because losing our
maybe
society.
Maybe we'll create an aptitude test.
Maybe.
For candidates.
But losing our society. Oh, that's juicy. AJ, get on it. Which means it comes back to you. Sorry. Yeah, I just radicalized AJ to radicalize Morgan. I apologize. Dang.
Wow.
I apologize.
My mind is fried.
She's like, what?
Do you remember where you were? I don't want to.
I don't. But I think I can jump back in. But I just think it'll put us in a place where, and this is, you know, there was a time when I was less politically active, less politically involved. And I kind of just like, I voted and you guys got it from here. I would love to think that I could go back to you guys got it from here because I've handed it to people that actually know what they're doing. And then the people, maybe there's a candidate that I disagree with their values, right? Or I disagree with their perspective. If they're passing this aptitude test, at the very least, I know that what's happening next while they're in disagreement with the candidate I did support is there can be place for some type of conversation where I'm like, oh, you know what? I didn't see it like this before, but based on the way you're explaining it to me, I can, you know, like there could actually be true working across the aisle. But then if you're passing the aptitude test and you've proven to us that you do understand these concepts and you do have a way to, you know, to really apply this, you understand how to apply these concepts, and you're making the choice to not do it, then it's like, oh yeah, you're just evil. Cool. Man, all this time, I thought maybe you didn't get it. You're just a really bad person. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I
cool.
hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
A couple of things. One, I think that there is no such thing as you guys take it from here.
Yeah, it should never be that.
It can't
yeah, it
be.
Can't. That and, was, and I, you know.
Yeah.
Fever dream of mine. I want to be able to kick back. I voted. Now I'm on
the
float.
And I get to go back to brunch. But that is what happens.
It's a problem.
And folks don't have any idea what they are there doing. And I mean, by that, I mean the people that do the voting
mm-hmm.
don't understand what the full job is and how these folks aren't doing the job. Right?
Right.
Or I also think that we have to be very serious with ourselves. We do not need as many signs as you're looking for to know if somebody is there to do good or not. We don't need them to say it out loud.
Mm.
They don't have to say, ha ha, I'm here to ruin all of it. they continuously show us in their actions. Dan Ryan, you know?
You're right.
I don't need him to say that out loud for me to go, ha ha, my suspicions were true. Like, no, you're a bad actor.
Yeah.
And you continue to show up as a bad actor. So I believe you.
Yeah.
I don't need, you know, I don't need them to tell me that they are, in fact, the bad actor I believe them to be.
Like, look who you didn't surprise. Me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, ideally, sure. I think the idea of there are people that are committed to and want very badly to help be leaders in their cities,
yeah,
their states, their country.
They want to see change.
They want to see change. They want to do good. I love the idea of those people just, you know, getting to go to work and do good.
Yeah.
But that is not even close to anything that we will ever see, because that doesn't involve oppressing people. That doesn't involve putting your boot on someone's neck. And you can't continue to uphold any of these systems of oppression with that level of change.
You said that doesn't involve oppressing people. That's the missing element here, Ambush. Where's the oppression in this?
I mean, it's
yeah.
I still find it incredibly hard to understand that people, you know how hard it is to campaign? That people do this really fancy, expensive interview to get picked, to get the job, and then they don't even want the job.
Nah, they just want to use this job to get to another job.
They either that or they just want the title. They just want the feeling of importance. And I don't understand, like, okay, so that's what you wanted. You wanted to feel important. And then you got the job. And now you feel important.
Yeah.
And then you're like, let me squander my importance? Or does someone just
want me to work?
Pay you more money to not do the things that are needed in your community?
Jeez.
Or, which think tanks are we paying for you to go to, for you to think that actually the only way to do anything is the police?
Jorah. Good morning, Jorah.
Good morning.
Jorah says, good morning. I think the idea of an aptitude test is good. However, it will likely lead to disenfranchising people even further, unfortunately, because who will create the test? Maybe AI.
Hello.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is, but competency doesn't come from education.
That is Kenneth.
Kenneth is spitting right now. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, you can go, we don't need to expand on that.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Finally, P-Town made it. How are you this morning? Good morning.
Hey, hey. Shout out to Bella.
Shout out to Bella. This is Bella says she could do that. She can do new things and think about it too. She says winning. Ambush, I would love a music break.
Yes.
And then I think
that deputy mayor story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we got to do that. And then
make sure we
got to make sure we have time for get Donovan's in there, because that's a great interview as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
A quick one.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
I'm just watching the time tick, and I'm like, holy moly donuts. The show's already almost over.
Show's over,
right?
Bro.
So we really, really will not get to most of our stories.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that are Portland specific that we will absolutely cover Monday.
Yeah.
But we also have a guest on Monday.
Yes, we do have a guest on Monday.
And I'm just going to say right now that on Monday, I don't know what the date is going to be that day.
The second? I think I made that up.
Our first show of June.
Yeah. I think it is the second.
I don't know. On Monday.
It's the second.
The second.
Yeah.
We will have the one.
The only.
The only. Joy Elise from Imagine Black.
Holler
on back. The show.
Holler back. Bruh, you know how much cussing I'm going to do? I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to do a whole tirade of cussing. I'm going to be so happy.
Okay. Oh, excited cussing.
Yeah.
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 Very super excited. My response to her confirmation was cussing. So yeah.
Excited cussing.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. A whole lot of F-yes. You know? I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
So, Ambush, if you would.
Yeah. I will regale.
Take us to L.A.
Sure. I will take you to L.A. This story feels like a mix of scandal, betrayal, and a whole lot of what the heezy was he thinking? Brian Williams, the former deputy mayor for public safety under L.A. Mayor Karen Bass, just cut a plea deal with federal prosecutors, admitting that he was the one, I repeat, he was the one who called in a fake bomb threat to City Hall late last year. And what's worse, he blamed it on supposed anti-Israel protesters. Let's rewind to October 3rd, 2024. Williams was on a virtual meeting when he used a Google Voice app on his personal phone to call his work phone, literally faking a call to himself. Then he left the meeting, phoned a top LAPD aide, and said he just gotten a threatening call from an anonymous man, angry about the city's support for Israel. According to Williams, the caller said he placed the bomb inside City Hall, possibly in the rotunda. If you hear me using my Angels and Demons, Brown, what's the guy's name?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. If you hear me using that voice, that's what's going on. Intrigue.
Dan Brown.
Dan Brown. Williams didn't stop there. He texted the mayor and senior staff with the same lie, prompting a full LAPD response and sweep of the building. And no bomb was found. Interesting. But people took it seriously. Because, of course, they did. He even told the mayor's office, in light of the Jewish holidays, we're taking this threat a little more serious. Also, there's a significance to the date in which he made the fake threat. October 3rd. Pretty close to October 7th.
Yeah.
You know. Now, let's be clear. Williams never intended to actually bomb anything, but under the plea agreement, he admitted to making the whole thing up. The call that came in, quote, came in from a block number. It was just him. Calling himself from a burner. The FBI got involved and raided his Pasadena home in December. And that's when the truth started unraveling. Folks inside City Hall and the LAPD were shocked. Mm. Williams had been seen as a respected figure in public safety. He helped lead the search for LA's next police chief, regularly showed up at graduations and pressers, and was seen as part of Bass's inner circle. Before working in her office, he ran the sheriff's civilian oversight commission. He's been in L.A. politics for decades, but none of that saved him from the feds. And now he's pleading guilty.
And it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. And now he's pleading guilty to one felony count, making threats involving fire or explosives, which carries up to 10 years in prison. His lawyer says this was an aberrational incident tied to personal issues that doesn't reflect his decades of service. But let's be real. Making a bomb threat, making up a bomb threat, and trying to pin it on people protesting Israel's occupation, that's not just bad judgment, that's dangerous.
Period.
Because not only did he waste public resources and terrify staff, but he also added fuel to the fire of anti-Palestinian sentiment at a time when legitimate protests were already being criminalized and surveilled.
Hello.
The FBI's LA field office put it plainly. Williams betrayed the residents of Los Angeles, responding officers and the integrity of the office itself. This is what happens when ego, power, and political pressure collide. Williams' sentencing date hasn't been set yet. We'll circle back when he's sentenced, and I will be there. Catch a flight?
No, you're not.
Oh. I can't.
That man did all of that just wearing a bow tie.
What do you mean? He wears a bow tie?
Yep.
So I can't go?
Black Tucker Carlson.
I really can't go?
To this man's sentencing? No, you can't. What?
Wow. This is my fiance in the field, you know?
This one's not. In the streets. No, absolutely not. Another corrupt politician. No. No.
Babe, but I want to see the sentence. Like, right this way, I want to see the giraffes. Fine.
I don't. Okay. That is all well and good, but I don't want to lose sight of how malicious this is.
Yeah.
Because this wasn't like a, oh, I've got an idea while I'm at this meeting. You planned that. You planned to call yourself, pretend like I can't get over what that had to look like on the other end. Either you took yourself off the camera.
Right. Or muted.
And left the audio going. Like somehow somebody needed to know you were getting this call. Or you left the thing up and you paused it. Either way, you're faking a phone conversation because you have called yourself. The call literally is coming from inside the same office.
Yeah.
The same pocket. You fake a hello, Deputy Mayor Dummy. And then it's like,
what?
Huh?
An incendiary device? Huh? In the rotunda? Well, why?
Israel? Our support?
Well, I gotta go because I gotta call SWAT.
Right.
Bye.
Like,
get out of here.
You did that?
Bruh.
Jail just for that.
Bruh.
Just for the fake phone call. Jail, SWAT, whatever.
Just
like,
for that.
Police.
We got a text that said, that bomb threat reminds me of the one at Home Depot where a customer said he was fixing to blow it up, referring to the bathroom. But the employee didn't understand that and called the police.
No! Sorry for yelling into the mic. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All of your ears. I'm so sorry.
Yikes. Come on, man.
Ay, ay, ay. Is that real?
Fixing to blow it up.
That's real.
I believe it could be.
No, I mean, I believe it.
Yeah.
But also don't. And the because for real, like, is our comprehension really that low?
Has the fear been stoked Morgan, that high? Yes.
But even that phrase.
That Home Depot worker feared for their life.
No.
What?
No, absolutely
not. You think only cops can fear for their lives, Morgan?
I think that they very rarely do.
Well,
I think that
it's more dangerous to be a Home Depot worker than a cop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But also, the phrase, I'm fixing to blow it up, don't come. That don't come with bombs, real bombs.
No,
that's not what that's about. And I cannot say this word, hardly,
colloquialism?
Yeah, never mind. Even if you would have said it right off rip, I can't.
Right.
I can't get it. It's one of the, like, colloquially. Colloquially.
Bam.
Is that it?
I think so.
Colloquially?
Help. Right. Colloquial.
Yeah, my point is, in local parlance...
I'm sorry. You can't say colloquially. No,
yes,
I can't.
We did it right.
But you pull out local parlance.
Parlance is so much easier.
In local parlance. What? Who even uses that? You're so old-timey.
I can't say the other old-timey word.
Oh, my God. Colloquialism.
This is why you work the mess out of a thesaurus if you can't get certain words down.
Local parlance.
In local parlance, they don't. You know exactly what that person meant.
Yeah.
That phrase is not used in actual
bomb threats.
or any sort of violent act that is about to happen. Like, that's not what I'm fixing to blow it up means basically one thing.
Right. Could you imagine someone on a plane singing It's Going Down? You know?
Oh, wow.
And then it's like, oh! No, gosh, chill out.
Maybe that's what happened when the lady was like, I'm getting off here. You can all stay, but that person isn't real. Do you remember that? I'm never going to forget it.
Was this a white woman?
Oh, absolutely. But it definitely was like this basically the scene from Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
It was like, there's a colonial woman
on the wig of the plate.
It churning, might as well have been that.
Churning butter.
Do you not remember that? The woman's like walking down the aisle of the plane and she's like, you guys can stay if you want.
Where are you going?
I will not be on this plane. I don't care what you say. That MF isn't real.
Yo, that is a break right there. That is a psychotic break. You guys can stay if you want.
Get wrong.
Where are you going? Where are you going exactly?
She can go tomorrow. She volunteered to go home. You know? She was like, I'll try it again when there's real people and on
this
planes.
This plane was in flight.
No, because she was getting off. So, it was boarded. It was boarded, but she definitely got off.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the person back there wasn't real. You could tell.
I'm like, point him out. Which person?
She I'll pointed. I just like... don't. Whoever was recording at that moment didn't pan back the way I needed them to.
Yeah,
camera people, I need y'all to start camera people lean.
Yeah.
You know? You got your phone out. Make it worth it.
Yeah.
Give me...
I mean, we know this isn't your trade, but still, you know.
But here you are with, you know, $1,000 camera in your hand.
And an opportunity to make history.
Go cinematic, baby.
Yeah.
Show me everything.
Show me your artistic vision.
Yeah.
How would you have captured it?
When you were sitting there and she started screaming about the non-real person. Why did you wait so long? Okay, anyway. If we could, one quick music break and we will come back with Donovan Scribes.
Oh, yes. Donovan Scribes up next. I think that was an excellent suggestion. I'd almost forgotten how far we'd gotten into the show.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. I'm going to remember to turn the other mic off this time. Ah, timeless classic. Catronata. At all. Fabulous.
That was fabulous.
Fabulous. One of my favorite songs.
Just want to say real quick before we move forward.
Yeah.
And because you played the Catronata song, Aminé has announced the best. Wait, what's it called?
13 months of Tour de Dance.
Best Day Ever Festival. Do you remember what we went to last year?
So we didn't go to Best Day Ever. Oh. We went to the Cachemine tour. Best Day Ever had a lot more acts on it. We wanted to go to Best Day Ever. We did want to, but we went to the Cachemine tour.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, it's back.
Boom.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
And so is Tour de Dance. That's not coming back, but now has a world tour happening.
Hello. Hello.
All of that, I was just trying to say that there's going to be an Aminé show and Ambush ruined it. So.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Also, I'm just wondering if, Michelle, are you out there? You alive?
Sure,
feeling
Michelle.
Okay, babe? Good morning.
What's the migraine app telling
you? Is your head okay?
Yeah.
My head is not okay.
Did you check your app?
I haven't. I'm on the air.
Oh, okay. You know? Yes.
My phone. I don't keep my phone near me because I would get in trouble.
Yeah. That's true.
So my phone's in my purse over there. I'm not checking the app, but I can tell you that my right ear is being pierced on the inside by something. Unsure.
I am not mad.
Really?
I'm not.
App?
That you put your phone away, you don't check the app, like you're locked in. I'm not mad at that. I feel silly for even asking you now. You know? I just don't like, because I don't have a condition which I can have an app to help me monitor. So it's like, it's something I would check in the morning, like, am I going to migrate? Going to get a migraine today? You know, I don't know. That's, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Let's
so,
move forward.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Because
Michelle showed up. Look at your face.
I'm sorry.
Just look at your face.
Oh, wow. That timing is crazy. So, Michelle is here. Hi, Michelle.
Yay.
That really, it gives me the same vibes. Every time you play a Catronata song, I'm like, oh, this feels like when we first started doing this.
Early News About Fiancé days.
Oh my God. Well, now I feel silly. If only I could just wait for a text to come through. I don't know how. Also, you know, to be fair, you've usually texted by me.
All right. So up next, a segment from my conversation with Donovan Scribes about the blackout issue. We're going to make sure to see if this does what it's supposed to do. You know, I think you'll enjoy it. I'm not hearing anything. So you give me a second there. Oh, I know why. I'm going to run it back. Let me pull the channel up. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. You guys about to get the
interview. He figured it out. Okay. Real time. Real time workaround, really everybody.
Quick. Yeah. I want to get too far in the weeds. Back to the issue itself. Because you and I can talk justice and crime, and we can do that for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
But what has been some of the initial responses to the magazine?
I mean, it's been incredible. You know, I'm really, really proud of how this thing, one, how it came together, and then on the other side, just the response to it, you know, from the people who have been reading these to the people who contributed to the different essays and interviews in here. It's been so great to see. You know, I was speaking with somebody yesterday who had read this, and you know, she was like, you know, I've been to so many of the trainings and I've read so many of the books, this nothing has quite hit me like Blackout. And that's an amazing thing to hear in and of itself. But yeah, it's been really, really dope. And you know, of course, there are the trolls.
Of course. That was gonna be the next question. What did the pushback look like?
Yeah, there's plenty of trolls that are coming for the issue and all of that good stuff, but those things are minimal to compared to just the impact. And you know, just really for me, I don't even think I said this. It's a dozen essays and interviews all together. And so, you know, in putting this thing together, I really was intentional and was involved in every single part of this magazine. So, you know, the cover and the art and layout and even the order, each piece is like me kind of laying these things out. And I wanted it to ultimately be like a story for people. And even that piece has been received. Like, I have gotten so many messages from people of like, I read this from cover to cover. I read it front to back. Thank you for telling me to read it from the start and then read piece by piece. Otherwise, I would have just kind of did like I do other magazines. I'm like, oh, that one is by my friend. Oh, I know that person. So a lot of people are really taking that time to say, okay, let me start from the beginning and see what this story is here. And there is a story inside of it. So I think that those pieces are really exciting to me. And moreover, you know, this week and just passed, so May 25th was the actual anniversary of George Floyd being murdered. And so the Portland Mercury dedicated their entire front page of their website to Blackout essays. And so if you visited from Saturday through Monday, you would have seen nothing but these pieces, which was really dope. Especially, you know, Blackout to me as the name that I chose, it meant a few things. But one of the things that was most frustrating to me during that time was people literally throwing up black squares, on Instagram and social media. And I remember when I opened up my feed, when that happened, I was like, what is happening? Why are people doing this? Why are they doing this? And I actually made a video. I just because I was so confused and told people to stop. Don't do that. You know, amplify what is happening. Don't just put a black screen. But the converse to that is kind of what's happened through the Mercury is blacking out their website through amplification. And so, you know, and in that, it's like I knew most of the people in different ways. Some I have closer relationships, some people I know just communally. But there's one piece in here of somebody who I didn't know, you know. And so when I was in my fundraising aspect of doing this issue, I had made a post on LinkedIn about it. And this dude reached out to me and he's like, hey, can I be in this issue? And his name is Chris Lambert. And so he told me, like, I got this essay that I wrote while I was locked down. And I would really like for it to be in this thing that you're making. And it's just funny kind of thinking about social media and what it can be. I have a lot of bad feelings about social media generally, but
sure, makes sense.
Yeah, but in that way, I was like, yeah, let's see what's up. And so it was dope that, you know, he had reached out and he sent me this essay, which was actually super long. It was like 9 pages, but he was writing. He wrote it during 2020, and I was like, let's figure this out, you know, because there's only so many pages in Blackout or that we could actually do. But his piece in here, Do You Understand Me, is like a mix of what he wrote while he was locked up and then kind of his reflections 5 years later of like, what were y'all standing for? And so it's been dope that, you know, I was talking to him the other day. I was like, you know, how's this kind of been for you? And it's like, this is my first time getting published and everything. Like, this is a dope experience coming out on the other side, you know, because he did 18.
Wow.
Yeah. So he got out in 2020, but still, and it was tied to a number of things, you know. He was, you know, in different programs and the wildfires in 2020 and all the kind of convergent factors. But, you know, even on that level, it's dope to see what he wrote at that time get amplified, because so much the other side of like defund and all these things, it's like when people go behind those walls, like we don't really hear from people anymore when walls. And we definitely amplify when people are going to jail or to prison, but once you're there, society doesn't really say what was your experience and what were you thinking. So I think that's a dope thing too, and just like his response to it. And beyond that, I would just say like all the writers have been, like you said earlier, like everybody kind of understands the assignment. Like this is not just about May 25th, and for me, that's kind of the deal here, is I want to make sure that Blackout is treated not just like some anniversary and a news clip and move on. Like, I want this to be a continued conversation. So there are going to be activations beyond this magazine to make sure that we keep talking about it, because otherwise it does kind of get lost to being treated like a sad day, let us never forget, you know, then like you're saying.
It's a moment in time. I cannot stop looking off camera to take a look at this again. Shout out to everyone involved. The layout is gorgeous. The photography is amazing. The art within these pages, also amazing. Like, congratulations to everyone involved to be able to have this for free. You know, just out there waiting for people to grab them is super dope. I can imagine there are people that are collecting these, trying to run around and get autographs, collect like Pokemon cards. I'm sure it's happening everywhere. Has this ignited the publishing bug for you? Do you see yourself working on some larger pieces, some larger work? Maybe not directly related to this particular topic, but
You get a little itch?
Aha. Wouldn't you like to know if he's getting a little itch? Well, for that, you have to tune in for the rest of the interview. Cliffhanger.
Who doesn't love a cliffhanger?
The guy that I was arguing with on Threads about the Spider-Verse movie. He hated that cliffhanger. He was like, It was like getting on a roller coaster ride and hearing it click, 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 click. And you get to the top and they're like, all right, everyone get off. And I'm like, That's not a good assessment. That's not the entire movie was a roller coaster ride. You were going up and down, up and down. Don't even try, guys. But yeah, someone put a post up showing the ending was like one of the best ends of a movie ever, and he was like, "No, it wasn't." But anyways, don't let me get distracted with the comic book stuff. Amazing, amazing interview. Thank you so much, Donovan, for taking the time to knock that out, especially with such a quick turnaround. Like I said before, we will have the full version of that up on YouTube later this week. And for those of you that are Patreons, that are fiancés at certain levels, I'll have that available most likely later on tonight or early tomorrow morning. Really good interview. I hadn't talked to Donovan in a while. I did bring up, there's a treat in the beginning of that interview, and I talk about how we first met. At the Ta-Nehisi Coates tour. That was hilarious. That was great. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm think guys are going to really enjoy that.
Yeah. I'm sad I wasn't able to be a part of that interview, but I am so happy that you are able to expand the show.
Your services were needed elsewhere. You're a busy person. This is why there's two of us, man.
Yeah.
You know, we tackling everything all the time.
We're here for it.
Sheesh.
If I could just mention something really quick, this was not on the docket, but I think it is.
Wow.
Okay.
So good. I mean, sure. Cram in whatever you want that's not on the docket. Just, throwing it in, but sure, mention it.
Thanks. I appreciate you. I think that we mentioned this last week on the show, I think we mentioned this. Equitable Giving Circle is working on not just receiving funding.
Yeah.
But very specifically funding that is intended to be hunger relief.
Yeah.
And is in fact our only emergency funding for food. For hunger relief.
Yeah.
They're in an arduous process right now and fighting the good fight, but there's a lot of information that needs to get to the community, like community members got to be involved. This can't just be a small organization left to do all of that work.
No.
There's more information. For more information, you can find it on their Instagram, on their website. There is a link to a new petition in their link tree. And it's really about making sure that we are, as citizens, not just tapped into the people who we're voting for in the first place, but what they're doing once they're in office.
Right.
How they are distributing our tax dollars. And the outcomes that we could be seeing versus the outcomes we continue to get.
Boom.
So. You can find more information about that
on their website. Booyah. Booyah. Man, I feel like there was something else I wanted to mention before we close the show.
Was it that it's about to be Portland Book Week?
That's what it was.
First of all, did y'all know that there's a Portland Book Week?
Yeah.
Do you know that because of Third Eye Books?
I know that because Portland. And there's a week for everything. So
that was rude.
I'm sorry.
I felt like this is a good time for me to shout out Emma, one of the loves of my lives.
Yes.
Who is, you know, my book bae. Mm-hmm. Like, bookstore bae.
She's got me in book talk.
And that's what happens.
That's how I ended up in book talk.
When you have an Emma in your life, you're going to end up in book talk at some point.
Yeah.
If you get on the ticks and the...
Yeah.
Over 60 independent bookstores across the city are teaming up for Portland Book Week, June 6th through the 15th, to celebrate book culture in all of its weird, wonderful forms.
Nice.
From where rare finds to queer-owned shops, sci-fi dens, of course, you know, a place that you can read a book and sit with a cat.
Nice.
There's something for everybody. And the week wraps up, I believe, with the Rose City Book and Paper Fair. Mm. And that's at the Doubletree on June 14th and 15th.
Nice.
But they have, this is what was exciting for me, because give me a game. I want to play.
You want to win.
Take me to all of the bookstores so that I can play the bookstore bingo.
What?
Yeah.
Look at your face.
Such a genius idea, in my estimation, to get people to actually go to other stores.
Right.
And one of the, when I was reading the article, I think this was Willamette Week, one of the things that was exciting, like one of the bookstore owners said, you know, like, you live here, you are a bookstore person, like, you can own a bookstore, you can frequent bookstores, and you have no idea how many bookstores are here.
Wow.
Like, their point was people are cycling in and through all, yeah. You know, in and out all the time. And so maybe that your cute little bookstore closed, but then another one opened,
right.
And, you know,
right.
Like there's stuff happening in the book world at all times. And that was a nice reminder. I thought it was cute. And I'm here for a book week, you know?
So how's the bingo work? Do you get like chips when you go to each store? How does this work?
A stamp.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Baby, have you never played bingo?
It's been a while.
Oh my word. Help.
I'm sorry.
We're going to bingo night.
I was running around the streets doing the
hip-hop. Is Sam still doing trap bingo? Is there a trap bingo somewhere?
I think there's still trap bingo at Alberta Street Pub.
Then I'm in. And I'm taking you. And it's happening.
Oh, so I can't go to this guy's sentencing, but we can go to trap bingo.
Well, one is in our same city, a few blocks from our home, and another involves going to Los Angeles to watch a poor version of the criminal justice process bear out.
You put it on the scales, and I see how this weighed out. Sign
me up. Do you like to have fun, or do you
sign me up for trap bingo?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Woo. Woo. Yeah. You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and then the Halen Wheeler Manzanita Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
And just so you know, this is a production/show note. Just so y'all know, I am in fact working on the News with My Fiance newsletter. And part of that mm-hmm. will involve getting some of the stories, maybe all of the stories that we didn't get to on the show.
Into the newsletter. Super sweet.
Security. These ones would not make it because these will definitely be talked about on Monday night's show. So for those stories, do join us because we don't normally do a lot of local things on Mondays. I try very specifically not to, but it will be a very local heavy Monday.
I didn't know you tried very specifically not to.
I do.
Now I feel, you know, more informed about your production process.
Well, you know, I would be excited by that if I had not told you exactly this multiple times.
Pish posh.
Yeah. Love to hear it's news to you.
Poppycock, poppycock, tomfoolery. Lies. You know, I too have
Are you my migraine?
Wow. Although I will admit, being compared to a neurological event is kind of a flex. So, if I'm going to be anybody's migraine, why not be yours?
Help. Send help. AJ? Somebody.
You guys can hear my glee. I am working on, you know, since you want to have production, I'm too working on, you know, News of My Fiancé production stuff.
Oh, I wonder if it'll be news to me.
Yeah. In development, the News of My Fiancé barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know?
I did see something.
Me and Kyle been bouncing some stuff around.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out, you know, looking for sponsors. You know?
What's happening right now, everybody? I just want you to know, because you can't see Ambush's body language. But he thinks that he's telling me something that A, no one else knew about. And he's like, so yeah, top that, because I definitely have been doing stuff too. Yes.
Cool.
Mine wasn't a secret from you, and yours isn't a secret from me.
All right. That's all I got. That's all I got, guys. Sometimes you just got to concede. You know? What's my saying? Rush to the wrong. Admit it. What happened?
That is your... I think this is Brooke. Please let this be Brooke. Big love for the witch and the migraine.
It hasn't come through on my side yet. So
all I know is somehow is, in fact, the name of my memoir. Hi, Brooke. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we did it.
Cool story, dude.
We did it. That's it. That's
Thank
all.
You. Thank you.
Free
Thank
Palestine.
You. Thank you all.
Free Sudan.
Yes. Congo.
Free Congo.
Free your mind and the rest will follow. Was that not what you were going to say next? Did I jump the gun? I think I jumped the gun, guys. Fourth wall break. Jumped the gun, I jumped the shark. I don't know. This is another show made possible by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, Kyle G, and also Kyle G, a residual audio. The illustrious. Thank you so much for your texts. We're going to make sure Kyle will make sure he gets all of that included in the episode. Playlist is updated with all the songs that we've played this morning. And, man.
Shout out to Donovan for sitting down with us.
Absolutely.
And having a conversation about the Blackout Project.
If you guys haven't picked up an issue of this magazine yet, again, it's in the Willamette Weekly. It is an actual magazine. It's not like it's a magazine. This thing is glossed from cover to cover. It looks amazing. It's wonderful to look at. And it is dense. There's a lot of content in there. And Donovan made a point. The way the articles are, the order in which they are in the magazine, read them in that order.
Oh,
there's a story. There's a progression. Yeah. Okay. So it's, you know, you want to resist the urge. Oh, this is Max. I'm going to read Max's article. Get to it when you get to it, but read it in that order. There's a, you know. Progression there. So yeah, man.
Love us a tip.
Yeah. But again, don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Tom Hartman. We will catch you Monday night on the YouTubes from 6:30 to 8:30 with our special guest, Joy Elise Davis from Imagine Black. And you can also catch me if you can't wait till Monday. You just got to get your Ambush fix. Mm. Friday night is Swift.
Oh, Swift Lounge.
Show up.
Yeah.
Saturday morning at Hoyt Arboretum, DJing a yoga session with Flow in the City.
It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, you can catch News of My Fiancé live, hosting and doing a live podcast session from The Artification of Living, presented by Exiting the Maze at Open House. Bam. All that information, if it's not already, It will be on our Instagram. Oh, I know some of it's on my Instagram.
Did we say the blackout was in Willamette Week? It's the Portland Mercury.
The Mercury.
Yeah. Did we say Willamette Week?
I think we said Willamette Week maybe twice.
Shout out to whoever this is who texted and said, my bad. Thank you.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We are not here to spread mis or disinformation. It's the Portland Mercury.
It's the Mercury.
Partnered with Donovan to do the blackout series.
Yeah. Now I definitely remember saying Willamette Week. Because I'm like, I know, they come out weekly? I remember saying
that. Oh, yeah, I do remember saying that.
Yeah. Kyle, scrub that from the records.
Yep. Let nobody know that it ever happened. Please, dump button all the way.
All right, we will catch you guys on Monday.
Bye.